So we start Parashat Bishalach. Right away we're told that, or we're not told, but if you have to like sometimes read between the lines, you read between the lines, you realize that we're really not ready to leave Egypt. When I say we're really not ready, because what does it say? It says that Paro sends, right, V'hi v'shlach Paro ta'am, right? So God didn't let us go derech Eretz Plishtim, ki karovu. He didn't let us travel in the way, which is the short way, the easy way, the close way, because it's too close, and lest we find ourselves in battle, and then we'll turn around and come back to Egypt. So right away we hear something, which is very frightening, and the frightening point is that we're not ready. So I just want to pause there for a second, because there's a couple things in Chazal that we know that may somehow dovetail with this. On the one hand, we're told that we're supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years. In the Haggadah, we say, Hashem chishevet haketz, and therefore, ketz, 190 out of 400, therefore we're only there 210 years, so God took us out early. So that's one thing that we know we left early. So is there any price to be paid for going out early? So yeah, when somebody goes out too soon, so they're not ready. You mean the Am Yisrael is a preemie, if you will, and we're really not ready. We're not mature enough. The other thing that this may connect to is a famous passage in the Zohar. I mean, it could be that nobody knows that it's the Zohar, but it's the only place that it says this, and that is that Am Yisrael went to the 49th level of Tuma, although it doesn't say there, as far as I recall, that if they stayed one more moment, they would have disappeared. That I don't recall seeing, and I mean, don't feel so bad. The Beis Halevi writes that he doesn't know where it's written, so you shouldn't feel so bad. But as far as going to the 49th level of Tuma, that is written in the Zohar. So if you then say, but they couldn't stay one second longer, so then also you get to the same point, and that's why they had to take them out earlier, Kodesh Baruch Hu take them out earlier, because they just couldn't stay any longer. The thing which is ironic about the Parsha is by the time we get to the end of Parsha Bishalach, we do find ourselves at war with Amalek. So, like, what happened? So it could be there's more than different one type of war, or maybe we did things that we brought that upon ourselves, which, of course, is always politically correct to blame the victim, because Amalek does come out of nowhere and attack us, but it could be that somehow we brought that on. So, yeah.
But even before that, on the way when we were trying to cross the Red Sea,
Yeah. I just said we may have deserved it. We may not have behaved all that nicely along the way. Correct. Which means that there's a whole bunch of things in the parasha even before we get there. Hayesh Hashem im kerbeinu ayin, is God with us or not? So at that point, Amalek shows up.
I think that's so why not even just like go there with Jacob? Like, we're already going to be like terrible. Mind over there.
No, the point is, because the point is, we may have given up on the land of Israel then. We were not ready to capture the land. We're not ready to fight for the land. We would have just turned around right away. If you wander around the desert and you're not ready, so then you wander around the desert a little bit more. Anyway, yes, no. No, definitely not. So, you have to hold on to the thumb. You have to control. Okay, good. I know. Too much learning, I know. So they're not quite ready. A beautiful verse then says, well, implies that maybe they are ready, or they think that they're ready, because it says that you have a chumash. You have to love the pasuk. It says, "Vayisav Elokim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yamsuf." He takes them the long way around. V'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And what does chamushim really mean? What does it really mean? Of course it means with weapons. Even Rashi, right? What does Rashi say? Of course that. Yeah, but of course this pshat is with weapons. They come with weapons. The only problem is they come with very primitive weapons. Egypt is coming with the full force of the Egyptian army. They have tanks. I mean, that's the idea of the chariots. They have tanks. And we're, it's again completely primitive. So that's something which is frightening, that we may even think what we're ready. But you just take a look at this picture. You know, we have our slingshots and we have our sticks and whatever, and they have chariots. So yeah, we think we're ready, but we have a lot of spunk. We want to do it. We're ready to fight, but we're just really not ready. So that's part of what's going on. Now, I want to read a comment of the Vilna Gaon, and everything else I say is just going to be trying to figure out what the Vilna Gaon meant. The Vilna Gaon's commentary over here. It's a comment to a passage in the Zohar. Do you want me to read the Zohar or not? You're not going to understand it. I'll read it. If it excites you, I'll read it. Good. So he says like this. V'ilana de'etz hadat tov v'ra, tzorech l'meh v'ad be'perud ben tov l'ra. That when there is avoda to be done, by the way, pay attention to the word avoda. The whole idea going into Egypt was that we were mishu'abadim, we became slaves. There was work to be done. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was work to be done. But what was the work to be done? The work to be done was, what is he there? To do a separation between tov v'ra. Now, this may not have been the original work in Gan Eden. The original work in Gan Eden had nothing to do with eating from the Eitz Hadaat or dealing with Eitz Hadaat. We just stay away from the Eitz Hadaat. The second point is, it's not the Eitz Hadaat. The Eitz Hadaat is just its name in terms of PR to try to get some people to eat it. I mean, that's Madison Avenue. What is it? It's not Eitz Hadaat. It's Eitz Hadaat Tov V'ra. It's a tree that causes confusion between Tov and Ra. So he continues and he says, again, the Zohar continues and it says, that the job in Gan Eden was to work to make a separation to Avra. Hadehu dichtiv vayavdei Elokim bein ha'or v'en ha'choshech. Just, it's, and between Tov and Ra should be as clear as day, black and white, absolutely, under, right, or in choshech, God makes a havdalah, God makes a separation. V'tzarech lamevet kitzutz bein la'mahavi ber nash below Yetzirah, ki gavnu katzitz lebein v'haregi begar satay. And you need to just become a person who can make the separation from the bad, and therefore by default be involved in good. Haduhu dichtiv, and I'm skipping a little bit. Ulekabel mem tet, and okay. By the way, this is interesting because here it's going into the mem tet panim of tuma and of tahara. Of course, the problem in Egypt is we sink down to the mem tet panim of tahara. There's also mem tet panim of tuma. There's also mem tet panim of tahara. Incidentally, there's actually a 50th level of Tahara. I'm not convinced, and I know rumors and such, I'm not convinced that in terms of Machshav there really is a 50th level of Tumah. And even if you say, but you heard that, let's think one more level get 50th level of Tumah, the problem is it doesn't exist. Does that make any sense, that that's the problem, that it doesn't exist? The problem is it doesn't exist. And if you go to a place of non-existence, then what happens? Then you cease to exist. This the Zohar does say, when it talks about worshipping other gods, when it talks about Elohim Achirim, it says if you worship other gods, what happens? Non-existence. Why? Because you're worshipping something that doesn't exist. So if you become so close to something that doesn't exist, what do you get? You get to non-existence, and that's the problem with the 50th level, because the 50th level doesn't exist. When it comes to the 50th level of Tahara, right, again, there are 50 levels of Bina, that only, Kodesh Baruch Hu is on the highest level. Now, here's a Klal Gadol, I don't know how far I'm going to get today, but here's a Klal Gadol, that there is such a thing in the world of Kabbalah between reality versus a klipa, between reality versus a counterfeit. And wherever there's holiness, there's going to be this fake holiness around, which will be the counterfeit of the klipa. But the klipa doesn't exist when you're dealing with God. There's no klipa in that sense in terms of God itself. At the Ein Sof, there's no klipa. When you get to the 50th level, there's no klipa. When you get to the 50th, there's 49 levels getting there, but you get to the 50th level, there's nothing to talk about. I hope that made some sense. But the various levels along the way, there can be this possible for negativity. So he says that therefore what we need to do is the kabel memtet min metatron. You need to take 49, now, I don't know if you know what Metatron, or who Metatron is. Metatron is an angel. If you look at Targum Yonasan on Bereshis, by Chanoch, it says that Chanoch ceased to be among the living, ceased to be among the people. Ki lakachat olakim, for God took him. Targum Yonasan, the idea, he took him, and he ceased to be among those who dwell in this world, and became this angel called Metatron. Metatron, for our purposes, is called the Sarha Pnim. Metatron is really, in a certain sense, the Yosef figure, like we saw in Paro's house, up in Shemayim. The other thing which is very interesting is that Metatron sometimes is called Safaraba, that he's also the flip side of the Moshe, because Moshe is the Sofer down here below, and he is this above. The famous Gemara in Chagiga on Tetvav says that when Acher did make it up into heaven by the Da'at of the Paradise, he sees Metatron sitting and writing all the good deeds of Israel, and then he makes this terrible theological error, and Metatron's given permission to rip off Acher's page, and that's where Acher ends up getting into a great deal of difficulty. So it says that you need to take the Memtet from the Metatron. The Zohar understands the Memtet is the 49. You take the Memtet from the Metatron. Inun Memtet Panim Tahar. And that's the 49 levels of purity. Umisitra de Samael Memtet Panim Tame. But when it comes to the forces of evil, the Sarah Shel Esav, then you have the 49 levels of tuma. Uman dezochi lechabrei hay, and if anybody has this ability of connecting the chamishe chumshe Torah, which is the hay, the five, if you can connect the chamishe chumshe Torah to the 49 levels of tahara, what do you end up? Mem, tet, and hay, you end up with the mate. Uman dezochi lechabrei hay lemem tet ponim de tahara de iu chamishe chumshe Torah it avid mate. You have the mate lemachobe leyitzre ba. But yud deihi esam achoyin v'hainu hei min elokim, that you're able to then to give the ten makos, you're able to work on Yetzer Hara, you're able to give the ten makos in Egypt. That's the mem tet together with the hay, right? Ubegin da, and that's why it's called mate elokim, right? Then you right. Then he also says there's a vav. Now there's a vav. Okay, there is. Okay, you missed it already. I know. In Elohim, you have a hey and you have a yud. Make believe you have Elohim without the hey and the yud. Then you have elaim, which means an inability to speak, with the hey and the yud. You say, where'd the hey come from? The hey just came from the chamisha chumshe Torah. Where'd the yud come from? The yud is from the makos, this ability in order to destroy the Eitz Hara, to destroy evil. There's also a vav. Now, if you look carefully, you'll notice there is no vav in Elohim, because the vav is Elohim, Elo. The vav is there, but it's really, we never spell it with the vav. So now he's getting to the vav. Uvai hamata ihu vav, and there's also a vav there. The itmar be, as it says, hinei nochi kare brit. A vav in Hebrew. Have I lost all of you yet? Or no? Yes. Okay. Good. I just want to get to what the Gur says on this, and I'll explain a little bit more. There's a vav. The vav is always a vav hachibur. You know what a vav hachibur is? So the vav is a vav hachibur. The vav causes connections. What do you mean the vav is a chibur? Give me a word in Hebrew. So you say vi beforehand. So the vav is the chibur. It connects things together. Vi, and. So it says the Elohim has, with the vav, it's the chibur. What's the chibur? The chibur is, and it's about to quote a pasuk, is baruch hinei enochi kares bris. I'm about to make a covenant. A covenant is a chibur, a connection between man and God. So far, those of you who I've missed. You have 49 levels of tahara. The 49 levels of tahara, you put it together with the hay. When you put it together, the hay is chamisha chum shetorah. Now you have the matel, matel okim. You have the matel okim. Now you can do the ten makos, that's the yud, the hay and the yud together, you put it, beforehand there was silence, elaim, you stick it in, and you have the hay and the yud there, which is going to spell Elohim. The vav is there, but it's not there, because of the vav hachibor, and that's what the Zohar is saying, that the vav over here now is creates the bris. And with this, something magical happens. And when you do this, now you're able to pray, and your prayers will not be empty-handed. The elaim, when you can speak, what's an elaim? Somebody who can speak. The elaim below hay, without the hay and without the yud, I'm going to add, is elaim. You can't speak. You need the hay and you need the yud. The below hay itire kam v'dohu d'omer Yaakov, and that's what Yaakov said. Lule elokei avi elokei avrum upachad yitzchak hayali ki atare kam shelachtani. Had it not been for this ability to know how to speak, to know how to pray, Yaakov says, I would have gone home empty-handed. But my begin to itmar Lavan v'tachlet maskratai aseret monim. And Lavan, you'll notice, changes his wages 10 times. Uvat yud, and that yud from the 10 times, it ovid le'nes, he was able to do a miracle, the elokim apik minehei, nishar ilaim, reik below right to balpeh, because otherwise he would have been empty-handed, ilaim, and he couldn't speak, and he would have got nothing. And it goes on to talk about those who understand the secret of how to learn Torah, the secret of Torah shebalpeh, know how to pray properly, and know how to eat the hay and the yud, and so on. Now, all this was an introduction that I told you. I didn't want to do it, you wanted me to do it, but what the reason we went here is because what the Gruss says on this. Now, those of you who don't know, the Gra, aside from being a very smart rabbi, was an extremely smart rabbi there's a certain advantage to be the Vilna Gaon. Can you imagine knowing all of Torah better than any of you know your names? Yes? Or I'm not kidding about that. You know right now your gematria of your name? Okay, Vilna Gaon knew Torah better than you know your name. On anything, on any verse, instantly he can tell you the gematria of it backwards and forwards, upside down, any way that you want. He knew everything with gematrias. The most impressive things you can look about the Gra are the people who knew him best and what they said about him. You look at the introduction that Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote to a book which is called The Sefer Tznusa, and he starts telling stories about the Vilna Gaon. You know what to do. He tells him that he says he once went to visit the Gaon and he said, I learned all of his Echa Sukkah. He goes, I learned it. I don't know how many times he said he learned it. 100 times, whatever, how many times he learned it. So he says, how many times, and he starts asking machlokas of Tanoim and Maroim going throughout the Masechta. You could know something very well now. And then he says, how many times are there examples of a sukkah which is pasul and a sukkah which is kosher? So Reb Chaim looks at him and he has no idea what to say. So he says, oh, okay, the gematria of all the pasul sukkahs is like the amount of time, is like sukkah, spelt male, and the amount of times of the pasul sukkahs is like sukkah, spelt chaser. Okay? So when you're the Vilna Gaon, you can do all this stuff also. And I'll say it again. He knew Torah better than you know your name. As scary as that, you don't even believe me yet, but as scary as that can possibly be. Another thing is that the Gro was the greatest Kabbalist of his time as well. And that's sometimes that we don't know because many of us don't deal with it. I was by a lecture a couple years ago, and somebody just as a throwaway point said, by the way, the Vilna Gaon wrote more comments and commentaries about Kabbalah than all the Hasidim combined. Okay, we're going to read one little comment to the Gra on what we just now read. Rekam shalachani, you're going to send me barehanded. Shahu vav male, that is to do with the vav which is male, right? Elokim, the vav is male. Canal below yud hey, without the yud hey, then you have elaim. So I already explained it to you according to the way the Gra explained it. Vahainyan, okay, here's the point. Vahainyan. Ki Yaakov v'lavan, this is it. This is why we're here. Ki Yaakov v'lavan, Yaakov leaving Lavan, dugmat Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, is an example, is a microcosm of the Jews leaving Egypt. Kimosha amru ha'avot siman labanim. Ha'avot heim siman labanim galut Yaakov. Va'achakach lakachet kol rechusho. Afterwards, what does Yaakov do? He takes all of the rechush of Lavan, just like Am Yisrael took all of the rechush when they left. Kimosha katuv, hininu iti et kol asher Lavan, v'yinetzlu Mitzrayim, uvimakel loka Lavan b'ruchusho. Yaakov used a stick when he was manipulating the, whatever it was, the stars and the stripes, or whatever it was. Just like dugmat, Mateh b'Mitzrayim. Ukamosha Baruch Yaakov, and just as Yaakov ran away, came b'Mitzrayim. Sher amu derech v'chulei. Ukamosha kaz v'atukuni zohar b'porkada kadmaita d'nofku b'nusa. V'kach derech shloshet yamim v'chein v'yaged l'lavon b'yom ha'shlishi, which, by the way, is an exact same pasuk. V'yugad l'melech Mitzrayim ki v'rach ha'am. The exact same words are told to Lavan. It was told to Lavan that Yaakov ran away. The exact same words are used. At which point did Lavan find out? After they traveled for 3 days. At which point did Power? After 3 days. At which point did they catch up with him? After 7 days. At which point did they catch up to him? After 7 days. And that's exactly what the Gemara says in the next line. V'chein derech shloshi yamim, v'chein v'yugad l'lavan b'yom ha'shlishi, v'chein hisigu b'yom ha'shvi'i, kamo shekatuv, v'yadof acharav derech hakol kimo b'mitzrayim. And now he says something scary. Because you just thought he already told you everything, and he says, "V'chein kol ha'ma'aseh l'misha medakdek," and the entire episode is the same, if you know how to look carefully and to discern what is said within the two stories. So basically, you now have your job cut out for you. You don't need me to continue now, and the job is very simple. What did the Gra say? That if you understand Yaakov leaving Lavan, you'll understand Am Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. Okay. You want me to do this for you, or you just want to go and try to figure all this out? It was a yes? Okay. So where do you want to begin the story? In the beginning? Okay, the beginning. Why does Yaakov get to Lavan's house? Because he has a brother who's trying to kill him. Why do the Jews ultimately end up getting to Egypt? Because Yosef has a brother who's trying to kill him. Which means, okay, right there... Okay, I'm saying, right there, you say, oh yeah, that's a certain similarity. Now, I'm just going to tell you something, just so you don't feel bad that you never thought about this before, and whoever taught you shouldn't feel bad they never thought about this before, because we're not the Vilna Gaon, but here's the point. We think in terms of results. It's not the same story, because it doesn't have the same ending. So just because the ending is different, we never bother thinking about it being the same. Yet the Gra is saying, oh no, it's really exactly the same. Of course, by the way, the Gra read the Chumash also, so he knows that you have two different endings, so that's why we've never bothered to think about it. in this, when Yaakov leaves Lavan, is there any point about, is there any point about water, about crossing over a river? Way before that. It's funny because you don't even notice it. You say, like, who stuck that in there? What? Before that. Vayignov Yaakov et Lavan. This is Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Kaf. Vayignov Yaakov et Lavan et Lev Lavan Ha'arami Al Bli Higidlo Ki Vareachu Vayivrachu V'chol Shalom Vayakom Vayavar et Hanahar. Who stuck a Nahar into that story? It's like, I know. Last time we looked at it, it wasn't there. I can assure you, it was not there. And of course, we don't notice it because it's completely meaningless to us. Vayavar et Nahar. You know what else is interesting? Okay, but you got Levan Yom Shlishi, right? You want to see those exact words? But you got the Melech Mitzrayim Kivracha Am over here. But you got Levan Yom Shlishi, same words. Seventh day he catches up to him. Now here's what's interesting: that when Paro is about to take chase, it says Vayichazek Hashem at Lev Paro Melech Mitzrayim, right? Paro, God intervenes. It's very, very, it's not nice of me to say it that way, because then it matches. God intervenes and controls Paro. And over here, what happens by Lavan? God intervenes. Now, of course, you're going to say, no, stop. It's the opposite. So now you see why I said it the way that I said it? In both cases, we have God intervening, which really helps the way that it ends up. But here, God comes into the night and says, you better not do anything. And here God comes, sure, go, chase, go for a swim, Paro. It's nice. Water's beautiful this time of year. Nice springtime, go. It'll be beautiful. So, in both cases, again, you have, so far, what do we have? Well, we have this thing about brothers hating in the beginning. Well, let's see if we can work it in. What else do we have? We have taking the money when they leave. What else do we have? We have the use of the mateh. What else did we have? What? Changing, okay, good. The 10 times. What else do we have? What else do we have? No? What else do we have? What else? What else do we have? No? It's enough? Yeah? Okay. Taking the Avodah Zarah is very interesting. Because taking the Avodah Zarah, okay, taking the Avodah Zarah, also taking the gold that ends up making an eagle, yeah? The clothing, yeah. What about the clothing?
Yosef's jacket, the brothers take.
Okay, good. Taking clothing, excellent. What else? Okay, good. Which is, again, same, so we're getting the same story. What else is there? So I'll point out something which, again, you just, these are like the little things we never would have thought of. When Lavan gives a little mussar, what does he say? First of all, he does say, all this belongs to me. All this is mine. Which is sort of a very Paro-like outlook. Everything belongs to me. But that's not what interests me. He says, Lama nach, okay, Vayomer Lavan Liyakov, Me'a Sita Veknovet Laviv, V'tenekeb V'tenai Kishvu Yot Charev, and you've treated my daughters as captives, which is also very interesting now that we're noticing a comparison. And he says, Lama nech beta levroch V'tenovetiv Elohi Ganatali, V'ashalechecha, I would have sent you off, Bisimcha uvishirim bitof uvikinar. So why is that funny now? So suddenly you come to this crazy thought. Whose idea was it to say Az Yashir? Oh, that was Lovin's idea. Lovin says, had I known, I would have sent out a marching band. I would have sent out the tof. I would have sent out the sof. Which means, again, when you're the Vilna Gaon, you just see all these things instantly. And these elements of the story you never thought of. And let's flip it around. Maybe after the Jews were in Egypt for 210 years and were finally leaving, Paro should have made for us a party and bring out a marching band and sing and dance and so on. Again, that would have been the decent thing to do, which is therefore, of course, the reason why we never suspected that Paro would do it. Are there any more that you need, or you have? Do you have enough that you think that maybe he's onto something, or still no? Yeah. Kenev Estas. What else? No. Anything else, or we have enough?
Why is the name not important?
What?
Why is the name not important?
I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that. Okay, we have enough. Or you want more? No, I'm saying. Do you see anything, or you don't see anything yet? Okay, the most important aspect is the one he doesn't say. Yeah?
I'm having like the different types of like sheep.
Okay, so hold on to that for 1 second. And I'll say it again. The most important aspect he doesn't say, and the most important aspect is when they're about to leave, when does Yaakov say, oh, now it's time to go? What was the starting point for him to go? This is in Perek Lamed Pasuk Kaf Hei. Vayehi ka'asher yolda Rachel et Yosef v'yom Yaakov lon shlacheni. As soon as Yosef is born, let's go. Which means Yosef, of course, has to be in both stories. You guys already knew this. You should have figured that out already. Yosef needs to be in both stories. This is when this begins with Yosef. I do want to pause and notice something else. Here, we leave confrontation with Lavan averted. How averted? Because God puts these ideas in his head. But then comes the confrontation with Sarah Shel Esav and then Esav. Jews leave Egypt. Confrontation with Paro, which is the comparison. And what happens afterwards? We end up with a war with Amalek. Oh, I knew that. Okay. Correct. Of course. So we just now went, yes? So we just now went from Esav to Amalek, which now should be a really clear thing, and I'll say it again. And who's the one who fights against Amalek? Of course, obviously. Yoshua, because Yeshua is from Yosef. A matter of fact, Rashi said that right over here, as soon as Yosef is born. What is it that Rashi said? What? Correct. What are the words that Rashi says? Kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef, mishanolad sitno shel Esav. Okay, now we're ready to go back. Now the counterpart to Esav is here, and that's Yosef. The counterpart to Esav. And what's the pasuk that he quotes? He quotes the pasuk from Ovadia. Vayah beit Yisrael eish, uveit Yosef lahavo, uveit Esav lakash. V'dolku b'em v'achalun. V'loya sarid lebeit Esav ki Hashem diber. It's that we're going to take fire. Yosef is going to take fire and burn up the straw of Esav. You remember the Kitzayid Befiv, what Rashi says is what? How was it that Esav used to fool Yaakov? What would he say to him? Do you give Meiser from straw? Right. So one of them was restoring salt. So one of them was straw. It's very interesting that straw is here. Who actually did perform the mitzvah tzedakah with straw? Gemara Nedarim Daf Nun. Oh, that didn't help you. Okay. Rabbi Akiva says that Rabbi Akiva was so poor. He was so poor. And his wife, and he said to his wife, if I had any money, I'd buy for you Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And it says that Eliyahu comes dressed as a poor man and says, my wife just gave birth, we need some straw. And he gives the straw. He says, see, we can, we're so lucky. We even have straw that we can do mitzvah tzedakah with. Esav says he wants to. Can you give meiser? Can you do mitzvah tzedakah with straw? And Rabbi Akiva, who according to at least our sources, is from the family of Esav, is a ger. And it's also interesting, Akiva ben Yosef. It's very interesting that he's the one who does the mitzvah of meiser together. I mean, there's a total tikkun, which means what you have. We always talk about the yadayim of. We always talk about the Kol Yaakov Adayim Shel Esav, there is also a Kol Esav. What's the Kol Esav? Well, there is the scream of Esav, the scream of Haman, the scream of Esav when the bracha is taken, right? But you also have the articulated words of Esav, which Esav is a disconnect between his head and between the rest of his body, right? Okay, no, but that's pshat. As much as you can say pshat in such things, the chassidim, they say, why do they put on a gartel? And if you want, I can show you a tshuva from Rav Sternbach that it's asur daven in a gartel because it's not considered kavod standing from Kodesh Baruch Hu that way. But he says you have to stand in front of, as if you would stand in front of an important person. You wouldn't stand in front of an important person with a gartel. The imam has a tshuva like this. Anyway, he goes, why do chassidim put a gartel on where they put it on? They put it on between the heart and between the erva, right? In order to create a separation of the heart and the erva. So in the Hasidic circles, they say, but a businessman needs to wear a tie. Why? Because a tie is a gartel between the mind and between the heart. If you really want to be good at business, you have to separate the heart, emotions, and feelings between the mind, and therefore they put a tie on. That's what a tie on is. That's the idea. But the truth is, that's Pshat Nesav. That's Pshat Nesav. That Esav spoke and he said beautiful things. Esav was able to say, can I do the mitzvah of tzedakah, of meiser, together with kash? But it was just, he can talk. That's the call of Esav. He can talk, but he, as they say, he can talk the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. But that's why they say that when Chushim ben Dan, Chushim of course is an anagram of Mashiach, that Chushim ben Dan, and it really is, that when Chushim ben Dan, he is a cherish, he does not know what's going on, and so again, he really can't hear, or maybe can't speak, and Esav can, but he can't follow through, but he does follow through, but he can't follow. I'm just saying, is that if you really understand what's going on here, it's much, much deeper than sometimes it sounds, and he's the one who takes the sword and cuts off Esav's head, which then goes rolling into the Maris Machpelah, and held on by Yitzchak, because there's a disconnect between Esav, between his head and the rest of his body, between the kol of Esav versus the Yadayim Esav. The problem of Esav is the Yadayim of Esav. So over here, it becomes so interesting that it's Dafka, who is the one who can counter Esav? Yosef can counter Esav. So how does the story begin? As soon as Yosef is born, right now we can go fight against Esav. Who's the one in Parsha Peshalach who goes up and goes fight against Esav? Of course, it's Yeshua who comes from Yosef. Pashut, clear, what? I've been holding out on that the whole time to get to Atzmos Yosef, of course. Do you realize now how funny it is? It's the next Pasuk. The Jews come Chamushim. But what does the next Pasuk say? But Moshe has Atzmos Yosef with him, okay? Which, of course, is going to be very, very important. Yes.
Why is it not like Yosef proves?
I think I said this once, but I'll say it again, or I'll say it the first time, that Yosef is able to argue on a moral level against Esav. Esav can say, "My brother did this terrible thing for me. He took away the Bechorah from me." You can say back to Esav, did you want the Bechor or no? But Yiva's Esav is Bechor, but still he took it from me. So he took something he didn't even want, right? And you got a bowl of chulin for it, and you all worked up because of this. Okay, he took the brachos also. Okay, he took the brachos. Okay, good. Yosef can come back and say, my brothers tried to kill me. My brothers sold me as a slave. And how did I pay them back? Not by being mad at them for the next 3,000 years, I paid them back by taking care of them, by showing them love and dedication and devotion. Which means on a moral level, Yosef can destroy any argument that Esav ever says. That's the point. All these bad, wrong, real, and imagined things that Esav is going to say, no, I feel bad for Esav. He needs to lie down and have some therapy and talk about all the terrible things that were done to him. And if Yosef's a therapist, Yosef would say, well, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Did you want the Bechor? No, but he took it from me anyway. Stop. Just stop. Okay. Yeah.
What did that happen to you that being myself? The parallel is complete that Yosef was born.
I didn't finish yet. I didn't start yet about Yosef. Yeah. Excuse me? Okay. So, I want to read to you something else now. This is going to do no good for you whatsoever, because if you're going to try to say this over, and it's the Gruz commentary to the Chad Gadya, it's at the end of the Seder, everybody is already like falling off their chairs. Maybe I'll say it by the Seder this year. Maybe, I don't know. What? You're welcome. I'm speaking in some hotel, so you're all welcome in Tel Aviv. Everybody's welcome. What? I'll remember. So, okay, you all know the Chad Gadya. So listen to the Gro's introduction to the Chad Gadya and then his Perish of the Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya the Zovin Abba. Perish. Here's the explanation. Klal Godel Etzleinu. That's already good, right? Klal Godel Etzleinu. Shekol HaTovot Shehayu V'sheYihiyu. Again. Shekol HaTovot Shehayu V'sheYihiyu Od Bein Ba'olam Hazeh Bein Ba'olam Haba. That's a pretty broad statement, right? All good that exists in this world or the next world. Kulam Yerashnu V'avotenu Be'et Shabiyuch Yitzchak Et Yaakov. Everything we got from the brachot that Yaakov got from Yitzchak. Ululei habrachot, had it not been for these brachot, chasarnu et kol, we would have nothing. Ve'kol hayu le'esav, and Esav would have had everything. Ve'hasiba le'habrachot hayu, shnei g'day izim. Now, what the Gro just now did, a little fancy footwork, he just now turned the g'di into g'day izim, into two. Pay attention, because very quickly they're going to turn into four. Shtayim Shem Arba, it's going to turn into four. But so far he says, what's the point there? When Yaakov goes in to get the bracha, what does he bring within with him? He brings it with Shtei G'day Izim. So he says here, what are the Shtei G'day Izim? Uv Gemara Amru, V'chima Achalosho Yitzchak Hayu Shtei G'day Izim. That's what Yitzchak ate by his average dinner. Ela Echad LePesach VeEchad LeChagiga. That he goes in and and one of them is the Korban Pesach and the other one is the Korban Chagiga. Now I want you to stop a second and understand what just now happened. When Yaakov Avinu bought the Bechora, or did a barter for the Bechora, right? Bowl of beans, Bechora. Esav detests it. What is the Bechora? What's wrapped up in this? Is the Brit Bein Habitarim who will end up being slaves in Egypt. That's what Yaakov got. The problem with that is the long-term investment. What does Esav and later on Amalek hate? They hate anything which is long-term. Notice every single time that we have a confrontation with Amalek, we always push things off to the next day. Machar. It's always the next day. It's always tomorrow. Because tomorrow drives Esav or Amalek crazy. He comes and he wants food. I'm going to die. Give me food. I'm going to die. Give me food. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Chill. Take a deep breath. Esav, it's immediate gratification. Amalek comes to fight. So what does Moshe say to Yeshua? And there's a big question how to understand the pasuk there. Tomorrow. We'll start without us. You guys start fighting. We'll be out there tomorrow. Drives him crazy. The same thing is later on with Shaul HaMelech. Same thing is later on with Haman. It's always we push off Amalek to tomorrow because it drives them crazy. Because Amalek, Esav, owns Olam Hazeh, they own today, they have no shaykhus to tomorrow. I mean, that's really what it is. They have nothing to do with tomorrow. By tomorrow, they're gone. What's tomorrow? Machar. Machar is Rechem, right? We won't talk about that now. Okay. That's where the fight starts. Okay. So because we took the... You with me? Who did I lose already? Anyone? That because Yaakov took the Bechora, he now has inherited Shibud Mitzrayim. What does he need? He needs to get the Bracha that he can... He needs the Korban Pesach. He needs the thing to leave Egypt. That's one Gedi. And he needs the other one to celebrate leaving Egypt. Not enough to leave. One, the Korban Pesach gets you out. And the second one is to celebrate leaving. That's the Shtei G'day Izim that he's talking about right over here. V'rabotenu darshu kach l'cha shnei G'day Izim tovim tov l'cha v'tov l'vanecha tov l'cha shetirash et habrachot v'tov l'vanecha shesku l'vi shnei se'irim l'cha perileim b'yom kippur. Now we just now ended up with Yom Kippur and two se'irim. Where did that come from? Well, that's the leftover, the remnant of the whole fight that's going to take place with Esav afterwards. Esav's going to come back and we're going to give him a present, right? We're going to bribe him, and that's the whole seer, that's going to be the whole seer, L'Azazel. Echad Lashem ve'echad Lazazel v'nira d'ha b'hatalia, that these things are all connected, the Gemara says, k'mo she'asirim sh'yom ha'kibrim echad ba l'chaper ve'echad ba l'chayes et ha'satan sh'lik t'trei kach ha'sirim v'yadua, and it's well known, well, we'll be in a second, v'yadua ki ha'brachot masar Yaakov avinu olav ha'shalom livno li'yosef gam ha'b'chora Natan lo kishibirech Yaakov levanov v'cholashvatim lo number lashon bracha uviyosef k'tiv brachot avicha v'chuli tinel l'rosh Yosef. He says, pay attention in Parashat Vayechi. What did Yosef get? He got the bechora, the two. He got the two, and he got the brachot. You know, we talk about the brachot in Parashat Vayechi, but the Gemara points out the word brachot is only mentioned in relation to Yosef, in relation to all the other sons. It never uses the word bracha. The only one who got the bracha proper is Yosef. So what is the Gemara saying? All the good in this world when Yaakov took the bracha. Yaakov taking the bracha is connected to Yaakov getting the bechorah. When you get the bechorah, you need the bracha. You need the bracha and the bechorah. And we've all heard this already. It's the bracha and the bechorah, and what happens to the bracha and the bechorah. So what is the Gemara saying now? It all goes down to Yosef. Why? Elah told it to Yaakov. Yosef, it all goes down to Yosef. Now, v'gam ze yadua, and this is also well known, Shehashvatim gavra kina b'neihem. There was an unbelievable amount of jealousy. And kina b'gematria is 156. Better than you know your name. And that's the name of Yosef. Yosef is 156. Yosef in gematria is kina, and the brothers were jealous of Yosef. Umachru et Yosef Otola Mitzrayim Kidei Levatel Habrachot VeBechorah, that the brothers want. They knew that this is the way. This is the way that the wind is blowing. They knew that Yaakov's giving everything to Yosef. Ela told Yaakov Yosef. He gave him the Ketonet Pasim and so on. So the brothers try to sell Yosef in order to do what? To counter the bracha and the bechorah. But now we understood that the bracha is connected to the Gedei Izim. So what in the world did the Gemara just now tell us? That Chad Gadya Dezavin Abba is Am Yisrael speaking about the Mechirat Yosef when we sold Yosef down to Egypt. And that's the start of the story. Okay, that's what he just now said. Continue. V'ktiv, and furthermore it says, and here's a second Yisod, Et hamateh hazeh tikach biyadecha, asher ta'aseh bo et ha'otot. Now this is interesting, because the last time we saw him talking about the mateh was mateh with the Zohar, with the 49 levels and the hay of the Chamish Yechum Shetor, and you put it together and you do all these things, right? He says now, and the mateh was taken, v'chein ananei ha'kavod, v'chol ha'tovot. By the way, that was one of the things that you missed, that there's an angel in this week's parasha that accompanies them out, Malach Elohim, and then you have it going into this protection, which is the Ananim. When Yaakov leaves, they're the angels that meet him at the end of the parasha there, and they're there serving to protect as well. Again, as the Gemara said, everything is exactly the same to those who are willing to take a look and pay attention. And he says, V'chein anani ha'kavod v'chol ha'tavot shahayu b'beit ha'mikdash nikra al ha'mateh. Everything is all connected to the mateh. You say, what are you talking about? Everything's connected to the mateh. But he's saying, no, the mateh was the Nanei HaKavod. You all know the Ramban about the Nanei HaKavod and the Beit HaMikdash, or no? Maybe, could be. Oh, yeah, what are we going to do? The Nanei HaKavod, again, is this protection. The protection comes, the starting point of the protection comes from the mateh. It morphs into the Nanei HaKavod. The Nanei HaKavod disappear when we are guilty of the sin of the Egel. They come back after Yom Kippur. They come back when we start building the Mishkan. And then the Shechina returns. The Gemara says, that of course is why Pesach is in the fall and not in the spring like the Torah asks. Of course it's in the fall. That's when the Anane HaKavod returned, when we started collecting the materials to build the Mishkan. And therefore the Anane, where else do we see the Ananim? We have the Ananim by Har Sinai. So, by the way, that was another connection that we missed along the way, that with Lavan on the mountain, there they bring Korbanos. The next time they bring Korbanos is actually by Har Sinai. So you also have, and there they made the covenant and so on, and there they have a covenant. Anyway, as I said, the Gemara would say that all these things are the same. So, this is the Beis HaMikdash Nikra Alamateh, Kemosha Nasebi Me Moshe Haya Schut HaMateh, Umosha Masar Li Yehoshua, Vizesha Ramaz Bal HaGada Hechnet Galgela Devar Bevorm Lemitzrayim, Uve Eza Schut Negalu Masha Haya Mirosh Va'atzof, Vizesha Katuv Chad Gadya. Okay, that was all the introduction. And now he'll say a little bit, and we'll see what we can do and what we can explain. Va'ata Shunra. What's a Shunra? A Shunra is a cat. Teva HaShunra. Teva HaShunra Hi Mitkanat. A Shunra is full of jealousy. Right? They're terrible animals, cats, aren't they? Okay. Especially Israeli ones, like on steroids. Who knows what they're doing? Okay. Vizeu Kinat HaShvatim Shekan'u BiYosef. You have the Gdi, Shazov and Ava, Abba, and that's the, and these are the cats. The cats are around, they're the ones, they're the Shvatim. Va'ata Kalba, and the dog comes, and the dog, of course, is Paro. Now again, I'm going to warn you, like I said, I tried to tell you in the beginning, that sometimes you can have a Klipa and you can have Pekdusha, a Klipa and Kedusha. You can have the dogs that didn't open their mouths by Pesach night, and because of that, they end up getting a present, but the one who's compared to a dog, as far as the girl is concerned, is Paro. Va'ata chutra. What's a chutra? And what's the chutra? The chutra, of course, is the mateh. If you've been doing Shtayim Mikra ve'Echer Targum for the last couple of weeks, you've noticed every time it says mateh, it says chutra. So then the chutra comes around, and what's that? He, of course, zeha mateh shehikela paro, which means that is the extension, as it were, of the Yad Hashem. This is the spirituality. This is the Mem Tet and the Hey. This is the power of purity, the power of Torah, the power which goes and beats up Paro, the Kelev, who punished the Jews for selling Yosef. Are we? Continue. Va'ata Nura, and the fire comes. And the fire, the Gur writes, Zayetzer Hara. And the Eight Sahara is what comes, and it destroys the Mateh. It burns the Mateh. The Mateh is gone. Moshe was warned about this right away. What's in your hand a Mateh? Throws it to the ground, it becomes a Nachash. What's a Nachash? Nachash is the Eight Sahara. Nachash is Malach HaMavis. Nachash, which means you have, again, Klipa versus holiness. You have the holiest thing in the world in your hand right now, but it has to be Memteshari Tahara. It has to be connected with Torah. Otherwise, what are you going to have? You're going to have a Nachash. Nachash, by the way, is also Gematria Mashiach, but totally, totally messed up. What?
I don't know what to do with that.
But totally messed up. But totally messed up. Which means why people claiming they're Mashiach, sure, you're the Nachash. Stop?
No.
Yeah? We're good?
Yeah.
We're good? So again, you have to be careful. Anything that has holiness to it is susceptible to the Klipa, susceptible to the Eight Sahara. The Eight Sahara comes and we have the Mate, boom, poof, it's gone because of the Eight Sahara. So therefore, again, you can have the first base of Migdash, second base of Migdash, you can have Sinas Chinam, you can have the again, you can have by the foot of Har Sinai, the Egel Azov, Shevich Hasdam, and Gilaz Reis, and Avodah Zarah, all there together in one place. It's the Yetzer Hara. That's what's burning. That's the Yetzer Hara which comes and destroys the Mateh, destroys the holiness which is there. The Atta Tura, when the Yetzer Hara comes, the Tura is ashore. The Tura is ashore. We'll come back to the water. We'll come back to the water. The Atta Tura, so the Gross says, so you ready to begin to understand. The Tura, he says, is Edom. A shore is a big, strong, powerful animal, but that's the Klipa of the shore. What is the shore Bikdusha? Yosef. So now again, what do you understand? What? So So now you understand, exactly, it's the Esau versus Yosef. This is it. They have the shore, we have the shore. We'll take on your shore any day of the week. But that's exactly the point. But then he says that the shore comes, Vatatura Vishata Lamaya, and drinks up the water, and the water is Knesset Yisrael. And the water is Knesset Yisrael. So therefore, he's talking, obviously, he's going straight to the Korban Bayit Sheni, and he's saying that Korban Bayit Sheni is Edom, and Edom comes and drinks up. Again, we have the Yetzer Hara, we have Sinas Chinam, it goes again and again, we act like the cat, again and again, we sell Yosef again and again, and these things just come back again and again, we don't even have the Mata anymore, everything is burnt, everything is gone, and now, because we don't even have any fire, so now Edom can come and swallow Knesset Yisrael, but, Va'ata HaShochet, and the Shochet goes rolling into town. Shochet's a cowboy. The Shochet comes into town and he writes, Shochet, the Mashiach ben Yosef. Now realize again, when Yosef gets to Egypt, whose house does he stay in? Who? Potiphar. What is Potiphar's job? Sarah Tabachim. What's Sarah Tabachim? He's the Shochet, which means over here you have the Sarah Tabachim. He's the chief executioner of Egypt. I know that he was the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. No. Again, you look at the Targum. The Sarah Tabachim, he's the chief executioner. And by the way, you realize something is crazy. Well, by the way, why does he have his own prison? Because he's not because the stake didn't work out all that well. Because he's the chief executioner. That's Saba Tabachim. So Yosef there is right there against the Saba Tabachim. Again, you have the same thing. You have this Klipa and you have this Kedusha. You have Yosef over here who now manifests as Mashiach ben Yosef standing up with his knife coming after Edom. And says, here, come here. But there's a problem. Problem is Mashiach ben Yosef. There's a Gemara that says the only time Mashiach ben Yosef is mentioned in Shas is on Sukkah and Daf Nunbet, and it says there what? That there's going to be this big mourning because Mashiach ben Yosef died. There'll be terrible hesped. So he writes Va'ata Malach HaMovet, and the Malach HaMovet comes Ki Mashiach ben Yosef Nerak. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. Now, the Gur knows much better than I know that in all kinds of Kabbalistic writings, it says, not so fast. It looks like he's dead, but he's not really down for the count. A matter of fact, what other biblical character did so many people think he was dead other than Yosef? Od Yosef Chai. No, Yosef's not dead. Which means, if you really think about it, Yosef should have been dead when he was thrown into the pit. Why? Haborek ein bomayim, but who's nechashim and akravim? Yosef should have been killed when he was sold to Egypt. Yosef should have been killed when Eshet Potiphar accuses him. Well, Potiphar should have killed him. He should have been killed in prison, and he should have been killed so many times over. But what's the answer? Yes, there's a hesped for Yosef, except what's the secret? Od Yosef Chai. Matter of fact, the Sfardim have this in the Siddur, and some don't even know why. It's their Rizal. On the words of Chisei David, it says the kavan you're supposed to have is that Mashiach ben Yosef isn't killed. So how could you have kavan? The Gemara says he's killed. No, there's going to be a hesped for him, and people think because he was killed, but he doesn't have to die. So now let's try to put all this together in the next couple of minutes. So of course, what's the most important thing in the beginning? If we now compare them again, in the beginning of the parsha, we have as soon as Yosef is born, Yaakov knows now it's time to leave. When they leave, what are they carrying with them? Atzmaut Yosef. Right? The Jews think that they're going to fight back, but what's the real powerful thing they have? Right? A matter of fact, what is the Michil to say? Why does the sea actually split? It says because of Atzmaut Yosef. Vayar hayam vayonos. Right? Be'ezus chut vayonos hachutza. Because Yosef ran. Yosef went against his nature. Right? Nature would have been a 17-year-old being seduced by this woman and so on. Yosef goes against his nature. So what does the yam do? It goes against the nature and it splits, which means b'schus Yosef, it's ready to go against Teva, right? So therefore, Yosef becomes the most important aspect in this whole story. But you understand, according to the Gra, So what's the next step? The next step is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, the Melech Malchim Lachim comes, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coming and then settling all the score, and that's the end of history. The way that that happens is by Mashiach ben Yosef preparing the way for Mashiach ben David, and that's the Kisei David that we have in mind. The Gemara does not want to say that out loud. I don't know why he doesn't want to say it. In other places he does say it very clearly. But he says in terms of the Chad Gad, yeah, he goes, just pay attention to the mistakes that we make again and again and again. And it all comes from jealousy and what we do to ourselves, and when we have the Eight Sahara, and what we end up doing these things, we give power to those other klipot. We give power to the other side when we don't use our kedusha. That's exactly what he's saying over here. And now I want to get to the point about what I think that the Gemara is trying to say in this whole entire thing. Now, I would have said, until we learned this together, I would have said the following, that leaving Egypt is the prototype for the geula la'atid lavo. Right? We left in Nisan, we'll leave in Nisan again, and so on. This is the prototype. And as being the prototype, I would say, pay attention to everything that happens when we leave Egypt, because that's what's going to happen. So now, what happened just now when we realized what the Gemara taught us? He says, pay attention. Yaakov leaving Lavan is the same story as Am Yisrael leaving Egypt. So what do we now do? We take the two stories, and we read them one on top of the other, and we realize there's a lot of similarities, but we also realize there are differences. The most important difference is the one that we started with, and it has different endings. Which means what the Gemara is leaving us with is this unbelievable perspective. He says that, okay, here's the director's cut. There's alternative endings to this movie. One ending, the end of history, is that all the non-Jews who have behaved so horrifically end up all dying in the sea, or whatever is going to be compared to a sea at that point in history. That's one ending. They go chasing after us, they feel a compulsion to chase after us, they feel no ability not to chase after us, and they're all going to get what they deserve. But now you realize the Gemara gave us another ending to the story. What's the other ending to the story? The other ending to the story, they run after us and say, you should have told us you wanted to go, we would have made a party for you. Because we feel so connected to you, and we feel that we're really one people, and we really feel that we want to be together, and let's make a covenant of non-belligerence at least, and let's go sign off that we will always end up being friends. What? So the Gemara now is telling us that's the story of leaving Egypt as well. I know it doesn't happen when we leave Egypt, but he says, but there's two different endings to history, and that depends on what, that depends on us.
Love,
meaning that's one prototype, meaning there's two prototypes. Yes. 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 He's saying that there's two different ways, and so much further. And how do we start the Haggadah?
Aramidov
Avi. Why? To realize that that's the story. It's the same story. Just say it.